Now to Brexit news. A leading trade expert has suggested more than 60% of goods entering Northern Ireland from Great Britain could be subject to tariffs under the Brexit deal. I've been speaking to our economics and business editor, John Campbell.
And I think we should just remind ourselves what was in the Prime Minister's Brexit deal. Now, it would mean that Northern Ireland would stay part of the UK's customs territory, but it would continue to enforce EU customs rules. Now, that sounds a bit confusing, but what it actually means in principle is that goods coming in here from Great Britain that are going to be consumed or used here wouldn't be subject to tariffs. But goods which are thought to be at risk of crossing the border into the Republic and on into the wider EU, EU tariffs would have to be paid on those goods at the point of entry. Now, the government hasn't said, you know, what proportion of goods they think would have to pay tariffs in those circumstances. And that is really the big question in all of this. So what we have is leading trade economist, Professor Alan Winters. He has taken all the official data. He has crunched the numbers. He's looked at what the EU have said about what goods would be deemed to be at risk. And his view is that 60% of all goods coming in here from Great Britain would have to be subject to tariffs. But of course, if those goods are shown to be consumed in Northern Ireland, you could claim your tariffs back. Yeah, but nonetheless, it's a pretty striking number.
Yeah, and whether you can claim it back or not, the political point around this is the tariffs would be applied in the first instance,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yes.
60% according to the view of this expert. Mm. Now, the bit that I don't understand, John, is when you talk about goods that are at risk, because we have an open border with the Irish Republic, how come 100% of goods aren't at risk in that everything coming in from GB could theoretically go down south? What couldn't go down south?
I'll give you an example. So let's say you have a pallet of Sainsbury's own brand orange juice.
Yeah.
There are no Sainsbury's in the Republic. Orange juice is a pretty low value good, and it's perishable. And Sainsbury's has kind of no motivation to be moving that stuff south of the border.
Okay.
So those sort of final consumer goods, you've got to think, well, they aren't going to be at risk. But the goods which are most likely to be at risk are what we call intermediates. So those are raw materials and components. So say, for example, steel, timber, car parts, things like that, which could be sold anywhere and which could be further processed. Those are the goods which are most likely to be at risk.
So how will we know? Will we not know until it happens?
Well, there are certain assumptions which are made in this study. And we should just be very clear. This study forms part of a witness statement in a court case taken by anti-Brexit campaigners. So you may say, ah, well, their motivation is to make Brexit look as kind of bad and disruptive as possible. So it may be less than 60%. The issue is that the government hasn't given us any guidance on what proportion of goods they think might be subject to these tariffs. And Professor Winter's subject or study, it looks pretty sound. It uses official data. All the kind of the workings out are very clearly explained. I think, though, he makes the assumption that the EU will take a pretty tough line. It will want to make sure the stuff isn't going across the border without the correct tariff being paid, and that's why so much of it would be deemed at risk. I think you could make the alternative assumption, which the EU, certainly pushed by the Irish government, would take a softer line. Because, you know, Leo Varadkar has said, listen, if this deal is to stick in the long term in Northern Ireland, it needs to be as kind of smooth as possible. There needs to be the least disruption possible to trade across the Irish Sea. So you could make a political decision, which is say, listen, we'll take a relaxed approach to this stuff. We'll say that, you know, maybe a lot of stuff won't actually be at risk of crossing the border. Maybe we'll even turn a wee bit of a blind eye. So there are different political assumptions you could make. So this figure of 60% is based on the assumption that the EU would take a pretty tough line about protecting its customs union.
And for those goods which are deemed at risk and the tariff is applied, and then if it doesn't go down south, our businesses here can claim the money back.
That's the idea, yeah.
That's extra paperwork, that's extra admin, and that will be passed on to the consumer.
Yeah.
So therefore goods in Northern Ireland will be more expensive than the rest of GB, correct?
That is the big possibility here. And actually, Professor Winters in his study, he is pretty sceptical about how easily it will be to operate this rebate system. You know, particularly for, you know, goods like, you know, raw goods like steel, for example, that might go through several stages of processing before it actually would leave Northern Ireland. So that's something where, you know, there'd have to be admin at every stage of production, basically, to prove whether that did or didn't cross the border. And, you know, a number of economists have said to me that the big potential difficulty economically in this deal is that it will make Northern Ireland potentially a less attractive market for GB companies. So you'll either potentially have extra costs for business and consumers in terms of goods coming in from GB, or in some cases you may have companies which say, listen, Northern Ireland's a small market for us. This looks like too much hassle. We just won't bother with them anymore. But like I say, this all has to be worked out. If we do leave on the 31st of January, then we're into the transition period. And the way in which all this GB, NI, NIGB stuff works will have to be crunched through by the EU-UK Joint Committee. And I think the political imperative will be to make this all as slick as possible. But at the minute, we simply don't know.
And what about this infamous meeting that Boris Johnson had with some business leaders recently, in which he told them, look, if there's any checks, just tell them I'm the Prime Minister and give me a call and I'll tell them to throw the forms in the bin.
Yeah, now that's about trade going another direction. Yeah. So that's stuff going from Northern Ireland into GB. And the government, frankly, have been all over the place on this. The original position was that there would have to be something called an exit declaration form. That would be pretty straightforward and easy to do, but there would never really be any checks. The Prime Minister's position then was, no, there's not going to be any checks at all. There'll be no forms, there'll be no need for anything. And then he kind of followed that up again in the Five Live phone-in on Friday. But then at the weekend, we had Michael Gove, the kind of effectively sort of the Deputy Prime Minister, saying, well, there will be some administrative procedures, but we know government will help out businesses in Northern Ireland to make sure that there's no kind of loss or impact from that. The bottom line is, if the Prime Minister's deal goes through, the way in which we trade across the Irish Sea will be changing. But what is up for grabs is how significant that change will be. It's really going to be down to the UK and the EU to work that out. And I think the political imperative, certainly on the EU side, must be, listen, we just need to make this as easy and pain-free as possible. Because if it isn't pain-free, there's the difficulty that the deal will not have support in Northern Ireland and the whole thing starts to unravel.
John, thanks very much indeed. Thank you.